This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by American Crawl Space and Pest Services. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So businesses, generally speaking, will plan for projects that maybe will get a little over budget, right? We plan as individuals. Maybe we are, redoing a kitchen and we say we want to spend $10,000. We generally know that sometimes we're going to get hit with a $12,000 bill, and we generally accept that. But we kind of get annoyed. Imagine, though, for a second, if you go from a couple hundred million dollars to $850 million, because that's exactly what's happening right now with the Key Arena renovation project. So last week we learned that, yes, the NHL is coming to Seattle. It's not going to come when we originally told you it was going to come. We've got to delay it by about a year because the project isn't going to be done in time. But okay, whatever. Well, now we're learning that just days, literally days, after they broke ground on the renovation project, where Mayor Jenny Durkan was there with a shovel, Jay Inslee was there with a shovel, days after that, we find out that maybe the city went with the wrong developer. According to Jeff Baker in the Seattle Times, it's a really good report, you should check it out, Oakview Group, OVG, they may ditch their current contractor, Skanska, for this project because they're already exceeding their budget. The budget already went higher than it was supposed to by a few hundred million, and now it's expected to be even more expensive. According to Jeff Baker, originally forecast to come in at $600 million a year ago, the Key Arena project had ballooned to $700 million by midsummer, and then $800 million by the time the NHL franchise was awarded. Now, the cost could climb closer to $825 million or even $850 million as OVG prepares some added initiatives within the building. Now, according to this report, Skanska refused to sign a guaranteed maximum price document, which basically said, hey, we guarantee you that we're not going to go over this amount of money, and if we do, we will pay for it ourselves. You won't have to. They refused to sign that. And now we're hearing once construction actually begins, OVG may ditch Skanska and go with another local construction company out of, I believe it was out of Kirkland. This is rather pathetic, and yet I'm not surprised by it at all. Because number one, we know that construction costs are skyrocketing for a number of reasons, from steel tariffs to the fact that there is a dwindling pool of staff members because there's so much construction going on in this general area. And so to get people, you're going to have to increase your rates. Now, the longer you wait to start a project, the more expensive it is generally going to be because of those reasons. Now, they waited quite a long time. They keep adding stuff to it unnecessarily. And so the money comes in now at the budget comes in at $825 to $850 million. That's insane. Why don't you do a better job externally with the reality of increased costs? Why not say from the beginning, rather than say $600 million, knowing that it's going to be higher than that because you're not going to be able to immediately start, why don't you just say it's going to be $800 million? Why not just start really high?
What is that, under-promise and over-deliver?
That's what they currently should be doing, under-promise and then over-deliver. But instead, they do the opposite, which is over-promise and under-deliver, which never works. The same thing when you're going with a client for, like, ads on the radio. Yeah, you're probably only going to get about 10 leads in this month. And then they get hit with 100 leads. And they're like, wow, that's a huge success. They're like, oh, hey, we really knocked it out of the park for you. You just got to do it that way. And should we be concerned about the fact that the budget is going up? Because I'm told that public money isn't going to go to this, so what do we care that OVG ends up spending a little bit more? Well, two things. Number one, if they're not willing to spend more than what they originally said, that means the timeline is going to be extended, which means they're not going to build it in time. No matter what, they currently, oh, we'll be on target. You said that for the first time around, and we already pushed it a year. Number two, I'm not convinced that public dollars aren't going to eventually go into this renovation. I do not believe that. I don't believe that. The city of Seattle does this on a regular basis. They're really bad at their own projects, so I'm not shocked that they picked a developer that ends up doing the exact same kinds of mistakes that the city does. And number two, can we just acknowledge just a little bit that OVG may not know what it is they're talking about, that maybe they got this because they knew the right people, that maybe the only reason this is even happening at Key Arena was because then-Mayor Ed Murray didn't like Chris Hansen taking credit for a brand new stadium in SoDa, which would have easily been better served by the people here just trying to get to and from the stadium versus right along Mercer Street. Like, really, that's where we're putting this thing? So any single time that there's an actual NHL game, you're going to be stuck in traffic for hours getting in and out of the stadium, and then OVG comes out. And I remember I made the video about this. I forget the guy's name. Lopez was his last name. One of the vice presidents, I guess, there. He was on our sister station. He said, you know, right now there's no traffic whatsoever on Mercer. There's no cars whatsoever on Mercer driving westbound, which is just dramatically false. It's demonstrably false. So we went out and we did a fun video project around that. They don't know what it is they're talking about. They seem to think there's not going to be any traffic problems with this new Key Arena for the NHL, and yet we're supposed to just trust them when they say, oh, well, we'll get it done. And by the way, you're not going to spend any money of your own.
Once there are more cars going westbound, though, they will eventually need to go eastbound.
Oh, it's just people, they lie to get there. And I love Mayor Ed Murray at the time. You know, I want to take credit for this because I want to prove that gay people like sports. First of all, you don't even like sports. Ed Murray never liked sports. He pretended to be a Sounders fan, and then when he had to announce the names at the actual parade after they won the MLS Cup, he comes out there and he mispronounces the name of the goalkeeper, who was just named Goalkeeper of the Year. Stefan Free? Like, no, that's not his name. He always pretends, oh, I'm fighting back stereotypes. You're living the stereotype of gay people not liking sports but pretending to. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
So businesses in Olympia are now seeking a restraining order against the city of Olympia for this new homeless encampment that they're putting up on a city-owned parking lot. They're now just putting up a massive housing project, a tent encampment, where a whole bunch of people from around the city are allowed to live and try to self-govern. Only, they likely did the city the bare minimum in even telling anybody that this is happening. They kind of just decided that it was going to happen. Now, according to their own ordinance that's currently on the books, you actually have to make sure that you're talking to the community. You're supposed to have meetings. You're supposed to put this in one particular space. In fact, it's supposed to be 1,000 feet from another site. But this violates the ordinance. And so a bunch of business owners whose livelihoods are going to be impacted by this encampment, because no one wants to shop at a business that's right across the street from a massive encampment for a number of reasons, including fear. Okay? Whether or not it's warranted, that's just a reality. And so they're suing to try to stop this thing. Now, the city apparently is saying, according to the News Tribune, Olympia City Attorney Mark Barber challenged the plaintiff's anonymity and the timing of their efforts. He says, the city has been working very long and hard on trying to get this mitigation site up and running, and it needs to get started on Monday. Why does it need to get started today? Why can't it get started tomorrow? Why couldn't it get started a week from tomorrow? You guys in Olympia, you declared an emergency on homelessness, a public safety health emergency, back in July. You had from July until today to have even just a basic meeting with the businesses there and the homeowners around there or the renters around there to say, hey, we'd like to put this here. Here's our reason. But you chose not to do that because you think you know what's best for everybody who's living out on the streets. Let me tell you something. If you knew what was best for the homeless people, you know what we wouldn't be experiencing right now? A public health emergency as it relates to homelessness. It's gotten worse. It's gotten worse after people have declared it to be an emergency. And we're wondering why. And by the way, they admit that this place is just going to be a mess. Here's Olympia's homeless response coordinator, Colin DeForest, talking with the Tacoma News Tribune.
What we know about these individuals right now is they've been down here for 2 months. Sure, it's a mess. There's a lot of challenges.
Sure. Not a big deal.
There's also some self-governance and some leadership that's already formed down here. So we're really going to rely on that.
I hear self-governance and leadership as I no longer have time to get an actual job so I can get off of the streets and outside of this encampment. This whole idea that we want them to self-govern. I don't want them self-governing. I want you guys who have decided that you're going to put this encampment right in the middle of a whole bunch of businesses to make sure that they're on the right path. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So finally, the 2020 elections already looking to be insanely crazy, literally crazy. Democrats apparently are going to react to Donald Trump by pushing forward someone who's a fringe candidate. So not Hillary Clinton, who, let's be clear, Hillary Clinton is a moderate Democrat who pretended to be more progressive than she actually was because she wanted to get some early votes as she tried to fight off Bernie Sanders. Now, that was a mistake on her part because the truth is she was cheating anyway within the DNC that were screwing Bernie Sanders out of a nomination. So she could have just stayed the moderate candidate and maybe, oh, I don't know, went to Wisconsin at least one time so she wouldn't lose Wisconsin. And she probably, remember, she won the popular vote. So let's not pretend that what Democrats did was wholly incorrect. It was wrong for a number of reasons, and they ended up losing. But they didn't lose because they didn't go further to the left. They lost because they had a really unpopular candidate who chose not to go to certain states. But now we're hearing, oh, people are really still feeling the burn. Here's Ohio State Senator Nina Turner, who's now a CNN political analyst.
I'm still feeling the burn. I mean, he's seriously thinking.
He's 112 years old.
About it. I mean, all that he has said, he has not, you know, totally made up his mind. But I think he's probably one of the very few in that mix who would say, still looking to see who might be the best person to actually do this job.
I would love it. I would love it if they went with Bernie Sanders again, if they went further and further and further to the left, because it guarantees that they're going to lose. That they're thinking going further to the left is somehow going to win them the White House against an incumbent at a time where the economy is as strong as it is today is mind-boggling. It makes no sense whatsoever to me. None whatsoever. Does it make sense to you? Send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z. The 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my latest blog about the mess known as the NHL expansion and the Key Arena renovation project. It's already in deep trouble. If you want to read about it, you want to spread the word, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. The U.S. Senate just passed a law making it easier to murder innocent, hungry sea lions near the Columbia River. You see, the sea lions have been eating the salmon, which is what they're supposed to do because that's what they eat. But we want to stop that from happening because salmon need to spawn more so that we can eat them in the future without being worried. And then the orcas eat salmon and we need to help save the orcas from extinction. So we're going to then kill these sea lions, which is interesting because they're talking about killing possibly hundreds of sea lions, and now under this law, the whole process got streamlined. What happens when the sea lions face extinction? What happens when we're almost out of sea lions? Do we let them eat the salmon again? But what if the salmon haven't recovered yet? And what if the orca haven't recovered yet? Because then man is responsible for killing off three potential animals? Okay, I'm throwing that out there because I don't know the answer. I just know that we react to things in a weird way sometimes. Maria Cantwell, hey, write this down, producer Darren, because now for the first time I can tell you what Maria Cantwell actually stands for. Don't actually write it down. I was joking. Sometimes I'm joking. That time I was. She says, as endangered salmon face extinction, we must take steps to protect them. So now we know that Maria Cantwell stands for salmon. This is the first thing I know that she stands for. I know that, and she wanted to originally change the name of the Washington Redskins, but that didn't go anywhere. So now she's getting behind this. That's gonna be the reason why she sails to re-election the next time she runs.
Yeah, she's going to run on pro-salmon.
I'm pro-salmon. Are you? Well, I kind of like cod. Oh, so you're anti-salmon. No, I like salmon too, but I like cod. This isn't about your taste. This is about the fish. Okay. At the same time, we've got news now that two more sea lions were found shot to death. The total is now 12. They wash up on shore. In my head, a kid finds it. It's like, Mommy, what is that? Oh, my God. And then it's a dead sea lion. Casey McLean is with the nonprofit SR3. She's been examining these dead sea lions. Here she is talking with Cairo 7.
One we believe was reported from across the waterway previously, so that animal just kind of washed over to the West Seattle area after about a day.
She says the most recent were killed in the same time range as the others.
These were all robust body condition males that did have full stomachs.
Okay, so they're hungry, they ate, and they're no longer hungry, and just like that, as they're digesting the salmon they just ate, bam, shot in the head. Although, didn't they say it was like close distance? some of these?
Yeah, some of them. And then there was also like a beheading.
Yeah, which means, although I don't know if it was a beheading. The head was detached, but I wonder if that maybe had to do with the elements more so than a person who shot it in the head and then cut its head off. Which, if that did happen, then I'm going with my original theory. Well, I'm combining two theories into one now, and this is what I'm doing. So just deal with it. The Thurston County cat serial killer is also an environmentalist who cares about the orcas, inexplicably. He hates cats, but he likes orcas. And so he's done, because we haven't had a cat killing in 2 months, 6 weeks, something like that. And now all of a sudden we're seeing the sea lions killed. He now is taking his activism and his psychosis to attacking and murdering the sea lions.
You could be right.
I bet you I'm right. It's to say you're not. It's not suspicious that the cat killing stopped when the sea lion killing started.
That is, you know, that's a little weird.
Just suspicious. I'm not.
Are you sure that he's doing it for the sake of environmental reasons,
or
is he doing it because he likes killing things?
I am 100%.
And now he's found out that it's totally okay. To kill sea lions.
He's 100. I guarantee you, when they find out who did it, if they ever do, they're going to find out that this person was a hardcore environmentalist who wanted to protect the salmon and the orca. I guarantee you. In fact, that's what she kind of says, because she's all like, this isn't the best solution for the problem, shooting these things in the head.
Unfortunately, this isn't the solution to what a lot of people see as the problem of our declining salmon.
Why would she say that if she didn't also suspect what I suspect?
Well, was he killing cats for a reason?
He was crazy.
Treats? Was he pro Fancy Feast? He didn't want Fancy Feast to be eaten by the cats, so he...
Why would you go into that? I would have been like pro dog. You don't have to go with the same themes of the food. If it doesn't make sense, you don't have to force it. You forced it there.
I think you're forcing it.
Yeah, you forced it a little bit. Now you're attacking me. Don't attack the messenger. You forced the joke.
No, I did not.
No, I think you forced it. No, I'm not forcing a joke.
I know you are, but...
The only joke is thinking you're funny.
That wasn't very good either.
That was a burn.
It was forced.
It was a little bit forced. But you know, sometimes you got to force the joke. You can't because it wasn't good. But when I did, it was good. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send us a text on the NumBitter Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Nazis in Linwood, a hero at Lake Whatcom. It's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle, so weekday mornings at 7:30, thanks to our friends over at Tulalip Resort Casino, we do something called the Big Local, where we talk about stories impacting your neighborhoods and communities. We talk about you, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we start this morning in Linwood, where on Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, just after midnight Friday, so about 12:30 a.m., there was a massive bar fight at the Rec Room Bar and Grill that included a whole bunch of skinheads. Now, we assume that they're skinheads. Isn't it possible that they shave their head in solidarity with someone who's going through treatment for cancer? Which is always weirdly now what I think of. When I see those stories of people who choose to shave their heads in solidarity, and you're like, okay, that's awesome because you look like a dope and you're only doing it because you want to make some, usually a kid, feel better. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, what if they think you're a skinhead now?
Or maybe they're just bald.
Well, I mean, you're not going to find a whole... I mean, I guess it could be a bald club that gets together, like a social club. Mm-hmm. Only in this case, they started hurling racial slurs against a DJ who, in this case, was black. So
that to me screams skinhead.
That's I'm going hashtag skinhead on that one. It all happened, and they ended up assaulting this guy. Here's the GM talking with Cairo 7. His name is Jason Baum.
There was a very aggressive group directing their aggression towards one individual. I did step in to try to stop it. The individual was my DJ.
Now, the 27-year-old DJ was taken to the hospital. He is expected to be fine. There's no life-threatening injuries, thankfully. All the suspects in this little gang of white supremacists are between the ages of 20 and 40.
He's suffering as well, but both of us are trying to move beyond this and get back to work as soon as possible.
Now, a whole bunch of people involved, and this is kind of an anomaly for the department here. Here's Lieutenant Jeff Brand of the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office.
Obviously, there are fights that occur all around the county, like any other jurisdiction. but usually nothing to this level.
Yeah, when was the last time we heard anything like this? I mean, I think literally all of the skinheads in Washington got together and hung out in Lynwood, because you would assume that we would hear more of these types of stories, not necessarily brawls, but I feel like it's newsworthy and would be reported if there was a whole bunch of white supremacist skinheads, especially to the tune of, you know, 20 or so people just hanging out in bars. And I will also say this, because look, you can be a skinhead. We hate skinheads. We find everything that they stand for to be disgusting, but it's legal to be a racist and it's legal to shave your head. Imagine for a moment, like, they're going to go into a bar, right? Or to a restaurant or to, a place to get their head shaved or whatever. Like, you can't just kick them out, I don't think. But you would want to, because I kind of feel bad for the Rec Room here, Rec Room Bar and Grill. For them, why were they chosen? Was this just like a random bar that the skinheads decided to go to? And if that's
are
the case,
are they regulars?
They're not regulars. They've never been there before, according to the GM I saw in a report. So I kind of feel even worse for this bar, who not only had to deal with this assault and the racism, but, you know, it's literally random when some group of white supremacists decide, oh, because they got to eat. So they're going to go to a restaurant every now and then. And I'm assuming they don't have many friends outside of the other people who are degenerates like they are. So this is going to walk into a place and everyone's going to be like, what are we supposed to do? And I don't think you can just kick them out.
You've got me way too hung up on the idea of a skinhead barber. Is there like a one guy that they go to that they like who appreciates
has
their
a
message?
Full head of hair.
Yeah. Or
I don't know. So, okay.
Do they go to Great Clips?
But here's the deal. Let's say you did go to Great Clips or any place. And you said, I want to just shave my head. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to question them as to whether or not they're doing it for ideological reasons?
No, you just
do it, right?
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. Like, what if you see like a tattoo that indicates that, yes, they are a white... I think it depends on where
you are. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone you can call.
So like in Seattle, the city that we're not supposed to talk about during the segment, but we will for just the sake of this argument, you can't discriminate on the basis of ideology. And so they would be protected. I don't think, but that doesn't exist in Lynwood. But there might be another ordinance in Lynwood or anywhere else that says you have to provide, sir. I don't know. I'm kind of curious now.
Are they aiding and embedding for?
Not embedding. For, they're not putting them into a post.
Right.
Abetting.
A-B-E-T-T-I-N-G.
Right.
But are they doing that? Like, are they helping the skinheads by?
Are they associated
with them?
I mean, I suppose.
Like, I'm the guy who shaved his head.
I mean, no. The answer is no, unless you kind of know that they're Nazis, and then you're still choosing to be like, well, actually, sir, let me, and here's a moisturizer for your hair because it's a little, you know, dandruffy. Like, I think then you might be getting into the aiding and abetting.
Put some lotion on that swastika tattoo.
I don't
keep it hydrated.
Because, like, I don't want to serve a Nazi. Or I do, but I'd spit in their food.
But you can't not.
I think it depends on where you are.
Anyway, I just rude.
I'm just saying.
I bet you they just shave their own heads.
Enough with... you're probably right. Enough with the Nazi talk. Let's talk about the Olympic rower who is saying a huge thank you to a firefighter and EMT because that firefighter EMT saved his life after he suffered a heart attack that we called the Widowmaker. It all happened back in June and now all the parties are starting to talk. It happened on Lake Whatcom where Charles Hamlin was training and taking his boat out for a spin for the first time.
And miracle is almost too small a word for what happened out there in the lake. Incredible doesn't do it either, and unbelievable doesn't really capture what happened.
Okay, well then don't give the interview if you can't come up with words that are accurate to explain what happened. You don't have to go over the top. You had a heart attack and someone helped. Just...
Come on, don't...
So it's not a miracle or like...
Let's put this guy down.
So what word can we use?
He's happy.
Yeah, he's awfully happy for someone who suffered from what normally is described as a widow-making experience.
He's happy to be alive.
How is he this healthy?
It's a miracle. That's how.
But no, he just said it's not a miracle. That's my point.
It's unbelievable. Wait, no, it's not.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's all made up. Maybe this whole story is fake. Hamlin says the firefighter, Tony Robinson, knew exactly what was happening and he was able to help.
And Tony immediately understood what the problem was, that I was having a full-blown widowmaker heart attack.
Okay, so now he's the one who's saying widowmaker. No one else is. There's not a doctor that says you should be dead right now.
Yeah, everyone, it's a nickname for
whatever.
The thing.
He slumped over in the boat.
Which I thought might be a little insensitive, but if he's saying it, then... then it's okay.
You want to hear from the firefighter who says that he had to save Hamlin, and it was kind of a pain in the butt because he's just like, I'm just trying to enjoy my nice day. No, I'm kidding.
The boat was so heavy that the bow of the boat was literally underwater, so I was kneeling in the water, and your body was floating around, and I think it came up to 17 minutes of compressions. It's quite a workout. Sorry about breaking your ribs.
You know, there's some serious subtext to that comment there. He was basically saying, gosh, it's a pain in the backside having to save you. I really didn't want to. I felt like I had to. You made me work for 17 minutes. And so, you know what? I broke your rib just because.
Can we change the name of this segment from The Big Local to Jason Reads Stories and he picks the wrong side of whatever?
I never pick the wrong side. That's if the, I pick the side, it means I'm picking the right side.
Jason argues against common sense.
I'm just saying, you know, oh, he's a hero. Oh, I saved someone's life.
Yeah, he is. He saved a life.
Big deal.
Come on.
Oh, I saved someone's life. You know what I did the other day? I pushed a button at the crosswalk because I noticed they had not pushed it yet.
Great.
Had I not done that, they would have sat there for an extra 30 seconds.
Did you need CPR training for
that? Hero.
It was amazing. Very emotional day. But it was my privilege. And it was humbling. And it was an honor to be there for you.
Yeah. I just say, if this were, God forbid, to happen around me, presuming it's not me who's having the widowmaker, which of course I wouldn't because I don't have anyone who cares about me in my life, I don't know what I would do. I'd call I'd Snapchat it or put it on Instagram, and then I'd call 911, and they'd be like, you got to do mouth-to-mouth, and I'd be like, ew, I'm not knowing that.
And then
I don't
you'd
know
push the crosswalk button and leave.
Would you be prepared? You are. You went through CPR.
Yeah.
You're going to fail so hard.
Oh, thanks.
It's just true. You're not the type of person who can handle that kind of stress.
Great.
You went through the CPR training, and we kind of mandated it. I mandated it on behalf of the station because we have. You'd be the only one in mornings who would know how to do this.
Yeah, you said
building.
You're going to this.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You're supposed to say, oh, it was my privilege, like that dude. The truth is, if I ever have a heart attack, you're not going to know what to do. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I can
do
that. Yeah,
you're going to do nothing.
You know, do the thing. You shout at somebody and say, you call 911. You
Here's
shout at somebody else and say, you go get the zappy thing.
If it happened while I was on the air, would you go to a commercial break or would you just immediately leave the board and come tend to me because we're in different studios?
I could probably go to commercial first.
See?
Like on the way.
Wrong answer.
It would be a fluid motion.
Wrong answer. Right answer for me is if I was in charge, I'd be like, yeah, we got to save our money. But wrong answer. I don't like your answer.
All right.
It's not good.
I could do it at the same time.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
I hit this green button right here.
Hit it now. There you go. But I'm not having a heart attack. I'm just saying, do you really think that you'd be able to save someone?
Yeah, I don't want the opportunity to try, but I think I could do it.
You don't want the opportunity to try because
no, I don't want to be in that situation.
You don't want to be in the situation to help someone survive.
Well, no, I don't want somebody to be dying near me.
Would you prefer that they die somewhere else? Where
no,
you don't
I don't want the
be?
Person to die.
See, you're so selfish. You're the worst type of hero.
Well, to you, there's no good heroes because you always poo-poo on whatever.
No, I just said I did something heroic over the weekend. I pushed the button. Saved an old woman from an extra 30 seconds hanging out on the side of the street. Just saying. 1-800-46... Everyone agrees with me. They're all texting in. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. 465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget to text us at 1-800-465-8770. New legislation is being proposed that wants to tighten pot shop buffer zones. And this legislation is a bad idea. It's just flatly a bad idea. And it's a bad idea because it's insanely unfair. Now, it's sponsored by Representative Brad Clippard. He's the Republican out of Kennewick. He's actually going to be on the show this Wednesday, and we're going to talk to him about this. And I'll happily tell it to his face or over the phone why this is a bad idea. Because this bill would add preschools and school bus stops to the 1,000-foot zone pot shops must exist outside of. Right now, the legislation says playgrounds and elementary schools, you can't be within 1,000 feet. So now they want to add preschools and bus stops. Now, it's kind of silly when you think about it because this whole idea of 1,000 feet. So if you're 1,002 feet away, You pose no risk whatsoever, but if you're 999 feet away, somehow you pose some sort of risk. Now, what is the risk that it poses? I have no idea. Because the actual think tank from the state legislature looked into this, and they found out that after 3 years of instituting legalized marijuana in the state of Washington, there was no increase in the access kids had to weed. That it was stagnant. It was exactly the same as it was before. And there are clearly benefits to legalizing because there is more monitoring. And, of course, you get tax dollars associated with it. And, of course, right now, kids, whether we're talking about preschool kids or elementary school kids, can't go into a pot shop as it is. So this whole idea of adding it, fine, whatever. It doesn't really make any sense to me, but that's your deal. Here's what really makes no sense and is patently unfair. The legislation is retroactive. That according to Cairo 7. Now, I have to assume, I'm hoping that that's just incorrect. Because I don't know how you're supposed to exist as a pot shop owner if at any time, if you've already got your business established, you've been doing business for 2-3 years and you're a success, and then a school decides to open up a bus stop within 1,000 feet from you, you're supposed to close up shop? That's ridiculous. That's not a way for anyone to operate a business. You can't operate a business under the threat of constant closure because a school, which by the way, school stops change a lot of times in school districts, multiple times, sometimes in the same year. And so now a whole bunch of owners like Casey Franks, who owns Lux Pot Shop in Ballard and another one in Lake City, he's calling this out as just patently wrong.
The idea that it would be retroactive, say they decided to build a bus stop 2 blocks away, all of a sudden my business just disappears or gets dissolved or has to move. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And I don't know how you can argue that it does. I understand if you want to you want to add to the list, but you don't make it retroactive. Unless you're telling me you can guarantee me that bus stops are not somehow going to open near these places, which you can't make that guarantee. So I don't understand it. I can't wait to talk with Representative Clippert. Because my sense is this is going to go down this line of, oh, we got to make sure that pot stays out of the hands of kids. We are. That's why we legalized it. Kids do not have easier access to weed because of the legalization of weed. This is an argument that some folks lost and they're unwilling to concede. It's the same deal that we've got going on in, what was it, Thurston County, where they've got these rules on the books that, you know, we're not going to make permanent yet the licenses to run these pot shops. Every 6 months, we're going to renew and we'll make the decision. That makes for a really bad business climate. And it shows us that you're not willing to listen to the people. And what we say on this show on a regular basis is, especially when it comes to taxes, like the carbon tax, they pushed the carbon tax, the people said no. They pushed it again, the people said no again. And all of us will say, okay, gosh, stop trying to push this stupid carbon tax. We do not want it. Stop, 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 stop. And yet when it comes to weed, because some folks on the right disagree with the legalization of marijuana, you're taking a different position of all of a sudden, oh, well, no, we should try again. We've got to regulate. Got to keep it away from the kids. What about the kids? This is a battle that you have lost. Marijuana is going to be legalized across the country in your lifetimes. Most of your lifetimes. In my lifetime, for sure. Unless I die at the age of 43, which is what I kind of think is going to happen. Then I'm not. Maybe.
It's because I won't give you CPR.
Yes, because I'm going to pass out and you're like, I got to go to a commercial break. So I don't understand this. Now, at the same time, Washington State will not ban pot-infused candies and gummy bears, despite earlier saying that they would. There are going to be some changes. The big one saying they're banning bright colors for the candies because they think it's going to attract kids. So now you can only use like the dull colors, like flesh-colored candy. It'll just be clear. Okay. I weirdly like the clear gummy bears the most. I don't like the other ones.
The pineapple one?
Yeah,
it's the best.
So now a whole bunch of kids are going to pretend, I guess, that it's going to be pineapple candy, and then they're just going to be tripping for an entire weekend.
No, now they'll be like, ew, gross. It's not colorful.
Once officially announced, retailers would have 9 months to sell off existing inventory. And I think if they don't sell it off, they can put like a sticker on it that says we're changing. They just can't create any and buy any new ones that have different colors. There'll also be some kind of limits to the shapes of the candy, although they haven't told us. So maybe it won't be a bear anymore. What would it be?
Oh, a circle.
Is Who cares? So kids aren't going to eat. Kids don't eat circle candy.
Well, I just. I
don't understand this whole idea of this is all being done to keep kids. How about this? How about this? Again, I'm going to throw out a shocking idea. How about you parent better? How about if you've got kids, maybe don't leave the pot food and pot candy on the kitchen counter?
Yeah, that would help.
I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. And by the way, just so we're clear, this kind of stuff, the worst scenario of kids getting access to this stuff doesn't happen nearly as much as people want to pretend it does on the news.
No, but it can.
Everything can.
Right.
It can still get in the hands of kids under these new guidelines.
Right, of course it can.
Everything can. You've got to promote, like, being a better parent and making sure that that doesn't happen.
And if you're upset, though, that it's changing from bear-shaped or from colors, then maybe you're not mature enough to use the product anyway.
No one's upset that that's happening.
It's fine. It's just, if they want to do that, then fine.
It's another nuisance law.
Feel good
that gets in the but it's not going to do anything. And here's my problem: it's not going to do anything. This feel good law, to your point, then they're going to come up with the next way, which is going to be an extreme reaction to it, because one kid gets access to a pot. You know what could happen right now? Your kid could walk across the street and get hit by a car. Now we of course don't want that to happen. And what do you do as a parent? You hold your kid's hand to mitigate that threat. So how about that? Hold your kid's hand.
Outlaw cars.
This is, well. We are in Seattle. It's going to happen anyway. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.